Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Glenn Strait. I'm presenting a session on learning to read unification scripture in Korean. I'd like to work with this theme. You know, in the essence of it, heart is the beginning of everything. So our minds need to be really open and broad. So I offer this. Come. Be one people, speaking one tongue, in the house of the living God. Come, be one people, speaking one tongue, in the house of the living God. Come, be one people, speaking one tongue, in the house of the living God. So this is about creating Korean as the universal language. Practically, it's the Hundok solution to the language problem. We all know we have a mission to read Hundok-e. And our Father has said in Korean. So let's look at this more substantially. In 2001, our Father, Reverend Sun Myung-moon, spoke, "Unification members must solve the language problem before the time when true parents are no longer on earth." When I heard him speak that, I took that as a mission for myself. And I'll explain later why I felt it come to me. But I believe our response can be, I can learn to read unification scriptural Korean, and I shall learn to read unification scriptural Korean. But further, that I can hold the expectation that Korean will become the universal language. So, language is a problem. The origin of the language problem is recorded in our Jewish and Christian scripture. The Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. The Lord said, "Behold, they are one people, and they all have the same language. And this is what they began to do. And now nothing which they purpose to do will be impossible to them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language, so that they will not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of the whole earth, and they stopped building the city. Therefore, its name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole earth. And from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of the earth. Father Moon has said, in the future, language will pose a big problem. And again, unification members must solve the problem of language before the time when true parents are no longer on earth. Our divine principle speaks about this. From the Exposition of Divine Principle, the Diagram Lecture Manual, it's all very clear. If human beings had not fallen, we would have formed one global family, like one body with God as the head. Then there would never have arisen a profusion of tongues unintelligible to one another. And there's the story repeated. Through the corrupt behaviors of the human beings, God of necessity corrupted the language. He divided the language, created the confusion of the language. So people in their fallen nature would not be able to unite and do that work of Satan so substantially. So the solution to the language problem is establishing Korean as the central language. Yes, all of these are there in your materials. So as offspring of the same parents, all of us have the same feelings of joy, anger, sorrow, and pleasure. Yet we cannot share our deepest feelings with one another because we speak different languages. Is not this one of humanity's greatest misfortunes? If we are to realize the ideal of one global family which can honor Christ at the second advent as our true parent, surely our languages must be unified. And if Christ does indeed return to Korea, the Korean language will become the mother tongue for all humanity, and all people should learn to speak it. So establishing Korean is as the central language is the solution. Mother Moon declares it. There are 6,000 different languages in the world. No one can learn to speak all these languages in their lifetime. So how can we find the way to create an ideal world through language? And from the audience, someone yells Korean. This was in Africa, Benin, a French-speaking country. But they want to learn Korean, of course. True Mother continues, then why do you think Korean? Only because of true parents, the Korean language became the central language. The speech today tells us that God's ideal for creation was not yet fulfilled. God had to delay his providence of restoration for more than 6,000 years. It is true parents who came to know the grief of God and the ideal of God. That is why God is familiar with Korean, even though there are thousands of languages on earth. Learning Korean is one of the best ways to connect to God's heart on the deepest level. Also, it is a shortcut to creating one world under God. Father Moon declares this. With God's absolute love as the center, an absolute man and woman must come together and establish an absolute culture. In order to establish such a culture, we need one unified language and alphabet before anything else. And so I have emphasized time and again that you need to learn the Korean language and alphabet. This is because the creation and development of a culture is communicated to others through the written and spoken word. So internally, we can understand that Korean should be the central language because it is the original language of true parents. It's the language closest to God's heart, and it's the language by which true parents liberated God and erased his memory of the pain and suffering of the restoration providence. However, externally, we can also understand that Korean should be the central language. The written language it's a phonetic language, so it's highly adaptable for incorporating new words, and then we can read aloud new words and just sound them out because of the phonetics of it. The Korean language writing pattern actually trains the brain in non-linear thinking because each written syllable is a discrete unit that you have to think beforehand how you're going to write the characters. It depends on what other characters are in the syllable as to how you write the first character. So it trains us in thinking, you know, that they're not individual, they're part of a whole. It's this connected body. It's right there in the Korean script, in the alphabet, the way we write the syllables, yeah. The idea of the connected body. And also the Korean includes a subset of the Chinese characters, which it can make a bridge to the Chinese language. Mm-hmm. But also in the world today, Chinese and English are the two competing languages. The Chinese government is pushing very strongly that in the Asian, like Malaysia, Thailand, mm-hmm. people, if they're learning a second language, shouldn't be English, the Chinese are saying. It should be Chinese. And it's happening. Mm-hmm. In America, there's a big push by the Chinese government, you know, that the Chinese should be taught. So there's a competition in the world between Chinese and English. And neither one of those is going to surrender to the other easily.
So better be Korean.
Exactly. Yeah. Korean can be the compromise language. Now, Hunwoke is the key to establishing Korean as the central language, I believe. We know that all our blessed families are to be reading Hunwoke. Father said, Hunwoke should be done at least by the husband and wife of all blessed families. They should do it for an hour every morning. You should do Hunwoke whenever you have time, when you are alone or even when you are in the restroom. Not only should you read the way of God's will and divine principle, but you should also read other books such as Blessed Family and the Ideal Kingdom. But now, of course, we have the Chun Sung Gyeong and the Peace Messages. But all of this should be in Korean. Of course you want to listen to me in Korean. Why? Because Korean is the original language. Therefore, in studying the principle, if you do not know the original language, you will not understand the meaning of the words. And I'd like to share my own experience at this point of how deeply I understand this. In 1990, I decided there was one thing that True Father said we should do that I could actually do. Mm-hmm. He said we should read Divine Principle 100 times
yes.
in our lifetime. And I thought, I can do that. Mm-hmm. I'm a person of the Word.
Mm-hmm.
So I made a plan. First, I was going to start with 40 times. So it's easy. You just count the number of the pages of the book. And so over the course of a year, I was to read it 8 times. And then in 5 years, that would be 40 times through Divine Principle. And it's just a condition, a reading condition. I could do that.
Mm-hmm.
So 8 times in 1990, 1991, 10, 11, 12. I was feeling this frustration building in me.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't understanding it. I just knew I wasn't getting it.
Mm-hmm.
By the time I got to the 15th time, I just gave up. I couldn't bring myself to continue reading it because I wasn't understanding. I knew it. And I knew if I read it again, I still wasn't going to understand it. So, you know, then that was spiritually challenging. But out of that, I decided, okay, well, I need to learn to read Korean. And I want to have a Divine Principle book that has the Korean and the English side by side so I can compare it.
Mm-hmm.
So in 1992, I created that. I went through the Korean book.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't read it, but I could see where the sentences ended, so I could number every sentence. And I created it like a chapter and verse.
Mm-hmm.
So like in Bible, John 3:16, so you could have creation 4:37. You know, it would be a chapter and verse,
mm-hmm.
that sentence in the Korean language. Then I looked at the English, and I tried to find out what sentences would correspond to the English.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went through that, and I had a Korean person, Ingu Marshall, you know. She checked it to see if I was accurate in assigning the sentences, the correlations. So I did that in 92. So then in 93, I felt, okay, I'm going to see if I can create something better than this translation. So in 93, I worked on chapter 1, and I created my own, what I considered to be a better translation. Just looking at the dictionary, you know, studying the words and praying, and then the next year I did the second chapter. And the third year, 95, I was working on the third chapter. And that's when I heard that the Divine Principle was being retranslated. A new translation was coming out. So, you know, I connected with the people who are up here at the seminary, or in New York. And I gave them what I'd done, but I wasn't a part of that, and so I stopped that effort because anyway, they were doing it. But I was left with all this work I had done, so I felt, okay, I need to take this experience I've had of trying to learn to read Korean and help others learn to read Korean. So that's how I came to this mission.
Okay, wow.
I believe that because I made that commitment to read the Divine Principle,
yes.
and came to that realization that somehow, you know, I became chosen,
mm-hmm.
you know, for that mission.
Right.
So it's on me.
Mm-hmm. I'm so glad you are sharing this. I've been thinking, when am I ever
going to
read Divine Principle in Korean?
Oh, yes.
Not that I have read it 100 times.
Right.
Because you are determined. God came to you.
Right.
It feels like if you are ready to die, you actually don't have to die. It's like you read
right.
15 times.
Right.
You didn't have to go through 100 times, and God started pushing you, okay, now I want you to make the effort in Korean.
That's right. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Yes. So, in conclusion, our Hundo K materials should be unification scripture, that's Chan Sung Yong, peace messages, Father's words, and we should read the Hundo K materials, our unification scripture, in the Korean language. And bless families, reading Hundo K in Korea is the key to establishing Korean as a central language. Now, just reading is not the whole mission. We need to be able to speak, as you said, Julie. So a broader peace kingdom language plan would include the Hundo K Korean as the foundation, but then you'd have spoken Korean for the family and society. Also, we need to have the study of the Chinese characters. Father loves Chinese characters. And so that has to be part of the study as well, and for the whole picture. Then with those three elements, then we'd have the foundation for the peace kingdom language. But my mission is the first one.
Hundo K, Hanja, what's that?
Hanja, that's the Chinese characters.
Oh,
well, no, Hanja is the Korean name for the Chinese characters that they use in Korean.
Oh, okay.
So if a Korean sees a Chinese character, they'll say, oh, that's Hanja.
Ah, okay.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So, they only use a certain subset of all the Chinese characters.
Okay.
But then if you're a professional, the professionals will have their own Chinese characters they use. In the newspaper, you'll see some Chinese characters that may not be our divine principle Chinese characters. So, you would need to learn all of those. Yes. So there's a lot of advantages to using unification scripture as the foundation for learning to read Korean. Why? Well, the vocabulary is naturally limited to a vocabulary that's spiritually enriching, and it's functional for our spiritual purposes. And also, the forms of address are limited. If True Father is speaking to us, it's always the same verb tenses. Or if it's a written divine principle, it's the same verb tenses. Now, that's not all the verb tenses. One of the great benefits of Korean, as our father says, is it teaches us our place in our hierarchical position through the language. We use a different verb ending if we're speaking to our teacher than if we're teaching to our friend. So that would not be included in the scriptural Hundo K. But there's a lot. The foundation we can get through our scriptural studies. But also, very important, the learning is naturally cumulative. It's our language of scripture. So if we learn something, we're going to see it again. And so it can be repetitive and build up in ourselves. Okay,
thank you.
And so why focus on reading? Well, reading is much simpler than conversation. It's a simpler modality. And in the Hundo K context, if there's someone reading, then there's a text that the student can follow along with. Or the student could be the one reading, and the other students could follow the one student who was reading. And learning to read requires learning the alphabet, the vocabulary, spelling, grammar, which can be a great foundation for learning to speak the language. And also, this is very important, unlike conversational Korean, which for practice requires that you have another Korean to speak to, if you're reading, you can do it on your own. You can study when you have time and just at your own pace. You can really do it. You can find a time in your schedule to do it and grow through that experience. Now, where do we start? The family pledge is the ideal core content of unification scripture to use in beginning to learn Korean. The family pledge not only covers the general outline of the providence, but includes the preface, main contents, and conclusion. It is the encapsulation of the entire principle. This is our words of Father Sun Myung-moon. You must know that being able to recite the family pledge is the best news of all good news in all of history. Even for the individual, the kingdom of God on earth and in heaven is to be established through a family. Because we must create it in our families, we have the family pledge. If we cannot do this, it will not come about. So all unificationists have the challenge of learning to recite the family pledge in Korean. But not just recite it, but know the meaning of it. And so it's in our tradition. At least every 8 days we should be reciting it for the Anshi Il, but every day, you know, it's been recommended.
Every day would be better than you don't forget the 8th day.
Well, that's right.
Because it used to be easier for us when it was every Sunday.
That's right, yes.
But now every 8 days changes.
So. That's right. You have to pay attention to that. So the conclusion is we should use the family pledge as our core content for learning to read Korean. And the approach that I offer is what I call reading immersion. Now we know the best way to learn a language is to be immersed in the culture. Mm-hmm. To be in Korea, in a place where you can't find anybody who speaks English, you can't phone anybody on the phone who speaks English, there's nothing you can read, it's all in Korean. And you've got a dictionary. Mm-hmm. And it's just you and Korea and the dictionary.
When I was coming here, I was sharing to the person sitting next to me that my desire is to go and live in Korea for 1 year just for the sake of learning Korean.
That's right, yes. Yeah. So that would be the ideal.
Yeah.
Immersion in the culture. Mm-hmm. And if you're immersed in that way, I think, you know, you have to think outside of your usual ways of thinking. You have to just give up on your conventional way of speaking and the way you think the language works. You're just looking for any word, any place that has a little bit of meaning. So that would be great. But unfortunately for our blessed families, it's not very feasible for us to go and spend that year in Korea.
Especially when you have kids.
Yes, right.
So, it has to be. Some people, I guess, for me, I would think when the kids become more independent, maybe.
Yes.
Or if they all go to college or something.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, I think it's possible to copy some of those aspects of that real immersion speaking, immersion experience, and mimic it in a reading context. So that's the effort here. So these key immersion principles for creating a reading immersion experience are, it's only in Korean. The lessons are only in Korean. If you want to know what the directions are, you've got to go someplace else to look it up. It's not there on that same page where the lessons are. So the student has to be self-responsible to find the meaning of every word and the directions, you know, of what he's supposed to do. And so we need to use the modalities of looking up words in a dictionary, reading them aloud, writing them down, finding them in a block of text. It's very hard in the beginning, as you know, to even you look at it, to even remember what the characters are when you go to look it up in the dictionary. By the time you get to the dictionary, you don't remember what those characters were. No. So you have to train yourself, like scanning for the characters in a block of text. That's just one way to put that image in your mind. Anyway, that's one of the techniques. So if we have the right tools for the student to use, then they can thrive through the reading immersion experience. So here are 10 tools. You see the foundations are related to the alphabet, to writing, and the pronunciation. The number 5, the 21 unificationist words, these are words that have been chosen as first being from Family Pledge, if possible, or if not, they're familiar Unificationist words, but they lend themselves to a picture. And these words include all of the characters, all of the letters that are used in the Family Pledge. So this is, so then there are these 21 Unificationist words. Then we have the Family Pledge, which has been cut into clauses. So you, in that way, you get a little bit better sense of what the language flow is, if there's a clause. Mm-hmm. And then that can be used for exercises, the different clauses. Mm-hmm. And then there's a dictionary of words. It is only the words that you need, the words of the Family Pledge. And if you've tried to look in a Korean dictionary by looking at a Korean word, you may know that it's hard to know where the word ends. You know, Korean has a lot of endings. Mm-hmm. But you don't know what's the ending and what's the word. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so the dictionary needs to make all of that clear to you, to make it as easy as possible for the student to really understand what the language structure is. So there's a words dictionary, then a dictionary of some phrases from the Family Pledge, and then the Korean English interlinear Family Pledge. That's the Family Pledge with the English right underneath it. Mm-hmm. And then the very important tool 10 is the directions dictionary, which, as I say, you're going to have to go there to find out what you need to do, because on the page there's no English. Mm-hmm. Okay. So these materials for starting to learn to read Unification Scriptural Korean are available now. This is a series called Reading True Parents Word, with the goals of conforming our minds to the mind of God and true parents by learning to read True Parents Word in Korean. So we begin by just learning to read and write God's name in Korean. And then you need to be familiarized with the 10 tools. And you do need to memorize, just straight out memorize the Korean alphabet. Giyuk, niyun, digut, riyul. Actually, in my experience, I had the opportunity when my first daughter was born. It was right at the time when the Blessed Wives, our wives and our blessed families, were being sent out by Father Moon on a mission in relation to students, the CARP mission. So it was right at that time that our nursery, Jacob House, was opened up, and Mrs. Mao Suk Lee was the Korean who was in charge there. Mm-hmm. So all the children were in the nursery. We lived in New York, and my wife had a local mission, so she didn't go out, but our daughter was in the nursery anyway. And the ideal scenario was that once a month the fathers would go to Jacob House, and they would go there with the intention of not visiting only their own child, but go there to be a father to all of the children who didn't have a father. So because we lived in New York, I could do that. A lot of other fathers couldn't do that. Because I was doing it, Mrs. Lee sort of took me under her wing, and she tried to teach me Korean. So, you know, she would speak the characters and show me how to write them, and then I wrote down what it sounded like to me. Mm-hmm. In English.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a good way too.
And so then, you know, that was my assignment, was to memorize the alphabet. And so after she went through all the characters with me in that way, and I'd written down what I thought they sounded like, mm-hmm. you know, then I could practice the alphabet. And, you know, I just carried that around with me, this list of the alphabet, you know, just practice it. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, that's really an essential starting point.
That's a very good idea. I can do that with my own language, too, how it sounds in my language.
Oh, yes, you could do it with your own language. Yeah, exactly.
English writing, but it didn't stick.
Yes.
I could do it in my tribal language, and right. It would stick more.
Right, then you can think of that when you're trying to recite it.
Right, yeah.
Okay, so these materials are available. This is the overview of Reading True Parents' Word. So the goals you see there, that I've mentioned those. The philosophy is total immersion learning, Korean only. Oh, you have all of these. Excuse me. You don't have to write this down. I'll give you a copy of all of this. Yes. No. Yes. Okay. So, it's total immersion learning, Korean only, and so then we use these modes of reading it aloud, write it, scan to find the word in a block of text, look it up in the dictionary. But the method is that the student uses these customized tools that have been prepared. And so the content of the lessons is our unification words. So the first book is Let's Immerse Ourselves in the Family Pledge to Learn Alphabet and Vocabulary. Mm-hmm. And the second one, which is not hasn't been created yet, mm-hmm. is Learning Grammar from the Family Pledge. And then the third book would work with 40 selected pages from the Diagram Lecture Manual of Divine Principle, mm-hmm. which has diagrams that are, you know, particularly good diagrams that are easy to understand, and there's text under there, so we'll work with that text. So at this point, I want to take a break, and I want to have you each do a practice learning Korean here. So look in your book at the back. I'll give you about 10 minutes, and we'll see how you're doing. In the back, there are numbered pages, and if you come forward, you'll find page 5. These are copied out of the larger book. So it says, all right, so you see part 1, Breaking the Ice?
Yes.
Okay. You found it. Okay, good. So this is part of the instructional materials that are available. This is the very sort of beginning.
Okay.
This is different from the rest of the instructional materials. But I know that a lot of people just have some barrier about Korean. You know, a lot of people have tried to learn Korean and given up. And so they just don't think it's possible.
I think it's the Bible quotation you gave in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Like the enemy has trying to make the block to.
Oh, right, yes.
It seems like there's a connection.
Uh-huh.
Like God trying to break the barrier, but then another spirit, you know, makes a block.
Right, yes.
I think you read it from the Bible in the.
That's right.
Of the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. But I think, you know, in the earlier years when our members tried to learn Korean, there was such a spiritual block. And so now,
it's a new era.
It's a new era,
yeah.
But we've got that old memory.
That's true, and psychologically affected from that time.
That's right. So it's across the board, I think. So many of our members have that barrier. They know it. They can't do it because they tried it. But as I say, I believe that spiritually it's a different time now. If we try again, we'd find it's a lot easier. Spiritually, it's a different time.
Yeah, thank
you. Yes. So, if you turn the page and take your pen, just read along. And, this is your own exercise. As I say, I'll give you about 10 minutes just to start and read and follow the directions.
is this the Chinese character for
No, that's Korean.
This is Korean?
That's a Korean.
For the same word, for the same letter?
But yeah. This is the way you write this letter. It's just showing you the three steps. First you write that one, then you write that one, then you write that. To make the letter. That's showing you how to write it.